Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But last week, we started our new series called God With Us, and this series will be going all the way into Christmas Eve service, and we're going to look at how God is with us through it all. Last week, we started all the way back at the beginning. We read and started by identifying who God is. He is the creator. He is the Lord of all, the one who created every single thing in existence from nothing, and that includes you. He made us all with a purpose, and everything that he made, he said it was good. When God first created us, he wanted to be with us, and he was with us. We see that he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, right there with them. He talked with them. They got to be face to face with God. Then what happened was, as people, we chose to not follow God's commands. We disobeyed his command, and Adam and Eve ate from the tree in the garden that he told us not to. Since they disobeyed God and introduced sin into their lives and into the world, God said, "You no longer can be here with me forever." God banished them from the Garden of Eden and from the Tree of Life, and now man was able to die. But this was not a punishment. This was actually a blessing from God, because we are now separated from God while we are here on this earth. We are no longer with him, walking and talking face to face with him. But when we leave this earth, we will be restored. We will be with him once again, and we can be in his glory once again. So this week, we're going to go through what happened next for God's people and another time that God was with us, because that's what the whole series is about. So after Adam and Eve are banished from the garden, we're going to do a really quick synopsis of some crazy things that happened, but God was still with them, but he needed some sacrifices for our sins. We see that things get progressively worse as God's people give into more and more of their sins, and we eventually have a reset of the earth with Noah and his family, and a flood destroys everything except for Noah's family and then two of every animal. I'm sure you've heard the story. If you hadn't, go into Genesis, check out Noah's story, check out the flood and all the stuff that happens there. And you would think, though, because we have these righteous people who are starting the earth over again, that since we only have God-fearing people that are left on the earth, we're good to go. There'll never be another problem. No, it does not work out that way at all. Actually, Noah and his family do some crazy sins, and it continues on and on. And then we get some really great names after Noah, and we get Abraham and his wife Sarah and all the things that they went through. They were also God-fearing people, and they made a lot of mistakes as well. They have children that some follow God and others do not, but they also make a lot of mistakes as well. And what happens is a lot of the Israelites end up relocating to Egypt because things in the land got really bad. Anyone who tells you that the Bible is good feelings and shows us what an easy life looks like, the answer to that is no, not even close, not at all. The heroes and champions of our faith, they struggled, some turned from God, some have sins that you would only talk about in dark corners. It was ugly. As a whole, as humans, we like to do whatever we want to do. Let's be honest, we're all that same way. We want to do what we want to do. It started all the way back in the beginning when it came to Adam and Eve. Why did they mess up? Because they decided they're going to do what they wanted to do. So God had every right to say, "I am done with people." He already tried restarting it over with Noah, and it didn't go well. It actually went very poorly as time went on. And he says, "I've done all that I can for you." He could say that you have disobeyed me. You do not follow me. You do everything I tell you not to do. And he could just say bye forever. But God never gave up on us. Why? Because God is still with us. God has always been with us, and he will never leave us. Then a time comes where the Israelites, they are slaves in Egypt. Things are rough. They are slaves, so that makes sense. Let's be honest. If you're going to be a slave, it's not something you're like, "It was the best time." No, that was something that was terrible in their history and culture, all the things that happened. So God promises them that he will free them. It's truly amazing what God does with the plagues in Egypt, and God personally leads his people out of Egypt with fire and smoke. It's amazing and a wonderful story. He provides everything that they need as they're out in the desert making their trip. He gives them more than what they deserve. Then God has his servant Moses lead the people with some commands. That's where we get those 10 commandments. And when Moses is away, the people start to make idols, and they're turning from what God has asked again. Shocking, right? They messed up again. Even though God just led them out, God was with them, they decide, you know what? It's been a little while. I really feel like God's not here, so we're just going to do whatever we want. But God does not just wipe out all the people again. He keeps trying to lead them, and this is where we're going to pick up today. It's all about Moses talking with God, and that led all the way up to this point. We're talking about they made the Exodus already out of Egypt. They made the idol, and they've done all that other crazy stuff that's happened. But we're going to start in Exodus 33, 12 through 23. Exodus 33, 12 through 23. From the front, I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I'm using, we have some in the rows and a stack in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you today. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. And we're going to go ahead and read Exodus 33, verses 12 through 23. It says, Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." So the first thing that I notice from these verses is I love how comfortable Moses is with God. Moses talks to God and he asks some really hard questions. He brings his concerns to God. Moses has been through a lot from leading God's people, but Moses has felt inadequate to lead all the way from the beginning when God called him. Moses is asking for a pick-me-up here. He is asking to be strengthened by God. Moses knows his purpose. He knows that he has to lead. "You have asked me to lead these people, God," is what Moses says. "You know me, God. You know me personally, and you have found favor with me." And so Moses says, "If you are happy with me, help me." But he doesn't just say, "Fix it for me." He says, "Help me know you better. Help me lead better." This is so relatable. We know that God loves us. We know that he's forgiven us. But we become tired. The complaints and hardships can start to weigh on us. We may have health issues that feel like they're standing in the way. Like I said, relatable. And we're saying, "God, strengthen me." Moses is doing the same thing. He's feeling worn out and he's saying, "God, strengthen me." And then verse 14, God says, "My presence will go with you." And then he says, "And I will give you rest." It seems so simple, but it's so true. We have God's presence with us now. We have the Holy Spirit, who is God living in us when we accept him. And here we see that Moses is told that God's presence is going to be with him, but not just to sit near Moses, not just to watch from afar, but to give Moses rest, true rest, not a good night's sleep. Oh, I got 12 hours last night, so I'm good to go. That's not what it's talking about. Not a vacation away from your troubles and just put your feet in the sand. No, but true rest. True rest is rest in your heart. True rest is rest in your soul. And as I said, Moses has been through it. God's people have hated Moses for what he has done, complained, and they wanted to go back into slavery. They said, "Wasn't it better over there?" Many have died because they are doing ridiculous things that God said not to do. And on top of that, they are wandering in the desert for years and years. The desert is not the best place to live. Moses here needs rest. And God says, I'm going to be the one to give you true rest. And the only way that that can actually be found is in God. Again, that is not that everything is going to be perfect because you're resting in God. Not that everything will be amazing and nothing will ever go wrong. That's not what it's saying. It's not saying that you're going to get whatever you want and ask for. That's not rest. It is the comfort and peace we get from knowing that God is with us. He is here through it all. That we can have a peace and an understanding that transcends anything that we can know here on earth. That can only be found in God. And it's because He is the only one that can fulfill, that can make us peace and comfort. He's the only one that has true love. We have to go to Him for true rest. And we see this is exactly what Moses wants. So verse 15 and 16, Moses says, though, if your presence is not with us, please do not send us out into this horrible world. We want to follow you. We are your chosen people. We need you is what Moses is saying. He's saying the people, they need you. And the only thing that truly sets us apart from everyone else in the world is you, God, because we are with you. And verse 17, God says, I will do what you have asked. Meaning he's saying, yeah, I'm going to go with you. Yeah, I'm going to go with the people, even though they don't understand it, even though they maybe are not even looking at him, even though as a group, all they do is complain. God says, yes, I'm going to be with you. And this is something we should look a little closer at, because what sets us apart from the rest of the people? Because we have some confusion about what that is. Is it because we have certain rules and regulations that we have to follow? Well, God said it, so I did it, so that means I'm set apart. Was it the fact that the people who follow God were just better people? That's a trap. That's a trap that we can get into. We say, yeah, I follow God. Yeah, I don't drink and I don't do drugs and I don't smoke and I don't swear. See, I'm a good follower of God. See, I'm not like those people who are sinful people over there. That's not me because they're over there drinking and swearing. No, that's not what this is. Not giving into the world is not what makes you a follower of God. Not giving into the world is not what makes you a follower of Christ. What makes you a follower of God is that you are with Him. What makes you a follower of Christ is that you are with Christ, meaning you have a personal relationship with Him. He is the reason you breathe. You know Him personally, and you know that He knows you. He is your actual King. He is your family. He is your everything. When you are with His presence, and His presence is with you, that is what makes you a follower of God and a follower of Christ, not just following some rules. And that's exactly what Moses understood to be. And that's why he was able to ask the next question. Because in verse 18, he asks a very bold question. It's not because he followed all the rules. No, it's because he knows God personally. And he knows that God personally knows him. And he says to him in verse 18, now show me your glory. Woo! That's a big ask. It's like saying, I am so glad that you're pleased to me. Now let me see it. Let me see you. Show me who you are. I know that you are the unseen God, but I want to be in your presence. I want to stand there right in front of you. I want to see you. And we get to see that God says, okay. Personally, that's like that question you ask and you're like, hey, I have this huge ask. And then you ask it and you just wait. You just stare. And you're like, what's he going to say? And God says, yeah, okay. But it won't be all of God. You'll not be able to look upon God and live. He says, but I'm going to give you what I know will be good for you. Moses thinks that he wants God completely. It sounds amazing. So a little is good, so a lot must be better, right? But God said, sure, but for your own good. This is what we're going to do. And God says, I'm going to have you go to this place, Mount Sinai, where all my goodness is going to pass in front of you. And you'll be able to see my back. What? I'm going to see you walking away? That's an interesting thought process. And then Moses is sitting there, and it's not exactly what he asked for. Well, I wanted to see all of you, God. I want to see your face. I don't want to see your back. God says, you can't look upon my face. No one can. No one can look upon my glory and live. And that's why God says, I'm going to do what's best for you. So it's not exactly what Moses had thought he'd get. And it's the same for us today as well. God, if I just had that one thing, if I had $1 million, my life would be better and easier. We have these choices of what we think will be good for us. And we say, but I want this, and this will fix it. And sometimes God says, okay, sure, but it's going to be a little different than what you asked for. And that's because God knows what will be good for us and what won't. What we have to do is to be able to accept what God says and does and say, yes, God, I understand that you know what is best. I know we think we know what is going to help us and make everything better. We all have this thought process. If I just had more money, if my body was just restored, if I could just have, you know, a platform where I could speak, we have these thoughts of, I think this is what's going to make everything better. But that's because we have to realize, though, we don't know what's best. And God sometimes gives us what we ask for, but only to what's going to be in God's will and plan. We can't see the whole picture. It's impossible. Our ways are not his ways. My thoughts are not his thoughts. So what can we do when we know that he is the creator, when we know that he is the king, when we know that he is all powerful? What we can do is bow down and serve him. Know that his decrees, his laws, his word is truth and love. And it's not to harm us, but to help us. And so when God says, yeah, I'm going to let you see me, but only my back. And that's for you. I'm doing this to save you from what you don't understand. So we're going to go ahead and keep reading then into Exodus 34. We're going to read Exodus 34 verses 1 through 7a. Okay, we're not going to get to the B part of 7 because there's a lot of explanation that goes into that as well. But we're going to go through Exodus 34, 1 through 7. The Lord said to Moses, chisel out 2 stone tablets like the first ones. And I will write on them words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Be ready in the morning, and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and herds may graze in front of the mountain. So Moses chiseled out 2 stone tablets like the first ones and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning, as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the 2 stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. So what we see here is God says, first and foremost, okay, we need to make 2 more tablets. I got some work that needs to be done. I want you to make out 2 more tablets for me to write on. Like the first 10 commandments that God gave us, Moses was mad and he broke the other ones. So God's saying, we need to make some more. These are important. We need to make sure that these are remembered, that people know that this is from God. And then the moment has come. It's time to go to the spot that God will pass by and Moses will get to see the back of God. And in the majesty of being right there with God, feeling his radiating love and goodness, Moses says it all. The Lord, the compassionate one, gracious God. He is slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining his love to thousands. He's forgiving wickedness, forgiving rebellion. He's forgiving of sin. I love this part because you can read times when Moses was just so annoyed with everything going on. He's losing sight of what is important, what God has called him to do. He loses sight of where God is leading him. But when he is with God in that moment, when he can feel him, we get the simplest truth about God. And we do the same things in our lives. When we feel close to God, when we feel that he is near, what do we say? Oh God, you are so good. We say, God, you are so faithful. Your love knows no bounds. You forgive my wickedness. You forgive me when I'm being rebellious. You forgive me of my sins. But as I said last week, we have to know that when we are not feeling close to him, God does not leave us. We walk away from him. When we live for ourselves, when we live for our sin, when we live for our desires, we are no longer with him because we have walked away from him. It's just like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When they sinned against God, one of the first things they did was run and hide from God. Why did they do that? Because in an instant, they weren't focused on him and they forgot about his love. They forgot about his peace. They forgot about his comfort. And we need to stop running from God and start running to God. It's all because God is with us. In the darkest valleys, God is with us. Be with him. Go to him. Be in his presence. So now we're going to jump down Exodus 34, 29 through 35. Exodus 34, 29 through 35. And we get to see what happens after the fact. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord has given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. So what happens after Moses comes back from being in the glory of God? We see that Moses' face was just radiating. It's not that, wow, you're just radiating joy. No, it was glowing. It was something that it says scared the Israelites, because that's not normal. Your face and skin is not supposed to be shining out a light. It's not supposed to be radiating this way. And we think about it this way today, and we are like, yeah, that's kind of frightening. I have never seen anyone shining. Now, I know we have a couple greeters here that I'd say it's very close. Okay. When we look at them and they're smiling, you're like, man, you're just beaming. No, we're talking. He was literally glowing. But again, when we really dive into what this is saying, it's showing the hearts of the Israelites, of God's chosen people. They know God is real. They know that God is majestic and amazing. They sent Moses to go and talk to God. They said, find out what he wants from us. They had Moses bring down commands from God. They knew that Moses was communing with God. So why were they shocked and afraid when his face was glowing with radiance after being in his presence? It's because when God becomes real, truly real, when we are close to God, we can easily become afraid. We say, oh, that's weird. That's not right. That's not something I understand. I understand this world. I understand sin, but being in all of his amazing glory, I don't understand that. I don't even know what that looks like. I'm uncomfortable almost being in the light. But we see that the leaders and Aaron, they go and talk to Moses with his face glowing, and they hear about what God is commanding from them and wanting from them. Now, I'm not going to say that you're going to start glowing Okay, so it's one of those things where you're like, well, I feel that God's close to me. Am I glowing? Just look at me. Am I glowing? Okay, I'm not saying that you're going to start glowing. If you do, that's awesome. Again, as I always say, give me a call, take a picture, put it on Facebook. I'd love to see exactly what's happening there. So then we can go, wow, God is amazing and you are right there. But Jesus used this same type of example when talking about the followers of Christ. What does he say? He says that we are the light of the world. When you are close to God, when you are following God and he is with you, you become a light. You become a beacon of hope and rest. And all of that is because you are with God. Again, we can see that God has always been with us and still is. And it's interesting, when we become the light of the world, what does a lot of the world do? They're afraid. They hate us. They say, oh, we don't like what you stand for. Oh, we don't really want to see the light. You're shining light into the darkness. You're showing where I'm at fault. You are seeing exactly how disgusting and deplorable I am. It's the exact same thing. It's because God has never changed. God has never left. When God was with Adam and Eve, it was a minimum of 1,500 years to the time of Moses. A minimum. We're not sure exactly when it was, but 1,500 years from Adam and Eve to Moses is the minimum time. That means at least 1,500 years of sinning against God. 1,500 years of hurting him, rejecting him. And after 1,500 years, he was still pursuing us. And we know from the time of Moses to now, nothing's changed. He still wants us. He still loves us. He still wants to be right here with us. And that's what brings me to the challenge for this week. It's time to pursue God, to run to him. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you have done, God is there. Run to him. Pray to him. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for help and peace and comfort. God is with us, and he is the only way that you will find true rest. Again, as I keep saying every single week, and I'm going to keep saying it, in this busy season, when there is a million things that you think you have to do, when you have to go to parties and visit and buy gifts, and the list goes on and on and on and on, the only thing that truly matters is God. Make sure you are spending time with him. Make sure that you are in his presence. It will change your life. It will change this season, and you'll understand how important he is. So my prayer for you is when you leave here this week, that you have that strength to go to him, to follow him, to be with him, because God is with us.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.